Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble here filling in for Aaron Flint. That, you know, that's Noble with a K. I'm a lawyer here in Billings, also online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. We got Tim from Billings in the house as well. It's funny, we were just talking during the break there about classic federal government. This is what the federal government does. They'll send you a check for Social Security and retirement, and at the same time, they'll then tax you when you take your money out of the 401k, and it's like, we're just moving money from one pocket to the other here, aren't we?
Absolutely, and you know, I wholeheartedly believe I'm near 50 years old, and I believe that probably I will not see Social Security, because at some point, somebody's going to have to be an adult and say, this is ridiculous. It's not sustainable. We can't continue this Ponzi scheme. But I'll tell you what. How about this? I won't get a Social Security check. Don't tax my 401k. We talk about not taxing Social Security for seniors. We talk about not taxing military retirements. We talk about not taxing a lot of these things that other states can do. Don't tax my 401k that I was smart enough to put away for, because I knew at a young age, because they've been saying it since before I was born probably, that Social Security is going to be insolvent in 10 years. And they say it every 5 years.
Yeah, and yeah, why do we have so many politicians wanting to save a literally a failed program? I mean, it by its own terms, it is a failed program. I mean, it's headed to insolvency.
I'll tell you why. Because younger Americans don't vote in the numbers that older Americans do, and older Americans have paid into this system for their entire lives. They are entitled to it, this entitlement program. They deserve it. They were told it was going to be there, but guess what? They lied. The government, big shock, they lied.
Well said. Hey, we are taking messages here. By the way, if you missed the 8 o'clock hour, we had Attorney General Austin Knutson on. You're going to want to check out the podcast. That was really good. Mark and Roberts wrote in. This was, I think, for the Attorney General, but Tim and I can handle it. Several communities around America are seeing an influx of Islamic progressives that are creating subdivisions, like the proposed Epic City development in Texas, have led to bans on communities that attempt to enforce Sharia law, as seen in the recent signing of Texas House Bill 4211 by Governor Abbott. This group have set themselves apart of Muslim individuals who have adopted a Western culture. What can we do to ensure this does not happen in Montana? Well, Mark and Roberts, I mean, my understanding about Sharia law is like, you basically, most of it's already illegal.
Absolutely. It's incompatible with the U.S. Constitution as well as the state constitution. And
but I mean, if we need to put in specific laws that says, hey, you can't kill somebody, you know, if a little girl gets raped, you can't kill the little girl or her family in an honor killing. It's like, we need specific laws. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I think we have bigger problems if we have to put in specific laws than that, because then we don't have any laws that mean anything. But it's absolutely a valid concern. And, you know, import the third world, become the third world.
Well, and then you see Mom Donnie saying, this is all about the Senegalese and the Somalis and the Yemenis, and listed everybody else except Americans. Except Americans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 80,000 people voted for Ilhan Omar. They were all imported by Obama.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're back. Lori in Billings wrote in. She says, can we take the land from China and other foreign entities and conservation groups through eminent domain? Yeah, if you're going to build a highway there, yeah, absolutely. Kevin in Billings wrote in, as a Trump voter twice, I do think the Republicans are at fault for Tuesday's results. I think Mike Johnson could have gotten the rep and Dems together with scare tactics such as ATC and SNAP funding bill until the government reopens. That would have let the speaker smear those who voted to keep the government closed and keep them out of office next time. Tim, the fact that, you know, people are out there voting for the Democrats because the Democrats shut the government down, like, how much sense does that make?
Low information voters or pure tribalism. And you still have a media that is the PR firm for the leftists. I mean, there's no getting around that. I mean, it's It's not going to change. They can. You can get the Jake Tappers saying that, well, we were misled and all this other stuff. I called in last week and mentioned that we can't give those guys any credit about, well, you know, we were misled about Biden. They are all scumbags. Don't listen to them and don't rely on them to get the messaging out. And unfortunately, I think the GOP, some of the leadership of the GOP still thinks the media, the mainstream media, is a viable way to get their messaging out. Guess what? Use social media. Use these influencers. Use the people who support you. People, sorry to say, most people aren't watching Walter Cronkite and the nightly news, or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. They're just not getting their news like that anymore, because why wait for 5:30 or 10 o'clock for the news to come on when you can turn on your phone and you can get the news you want right here and right now?
Well, one of the things that blew me away from the 2024 election results, that it was actually the 65 and older demographic that voted in the largest percentage for Kamala Harris. I mean, Donald Trump won the young people. And I think it's pretty easily explained. Why did the older generations vote for Kamala Harris at the highest percentage of any demographic group? And I think it's because it's that older generation that still gets their news from the news. Newspaper, the TV news, the mainstream media, or they still trust the New York Times, the LA Times, whatever. So I think it's still a very, very important thing for conservatives to get the word out, especially to the older generations. Like, you guys got to stop reading the newspaper. You got to stop reading the AP. You got to stop watching your local TV news. You got to, and listeners to this program are different. I think the listeners of this program are uniquely informed, uniquely smart about these issues.
I would say better than that. Don't stop reading them, but read some of the opposition media out there. Get the information that has the opposite viewpoint. Form your own conclusion instead of getting force fed a bunch of drivel by a bunch of socialist leftists who think that men can get pregnant. I mean, come on.
Chris in Billings writes in. He says, that's typically the definition of a Democrat. My cousin is a Democrat and always has been, and it's always been don't talk politics with family. As a Republican, I've been talking about politics since I was 6. Chris is writing in about that conversation we were having, I think during the 7 o'clock hour, about this whole notion about, you know, not you can't talk politics and religion and stuff like that. And I think Chris in Billings is right. It's typically more the Democrats and the left-wingers that will take that position. They don't want – it's the Democrats that don't want us talking about politics and religion. And I think there's probably a pretty good reason for that.
Well, when you have an opposing view and you have a good argument and you can make that argument without resorting to violence, you know, a lot of times you're going to win over people who might be middle of the road or may have been undecided on issues. And so, you know, I honestly – the left is showing their true colors with what's gone on lately, with this gal in Helena saying that Senator Sheehy would regret running into her, which we all know that's not going to happen. If she sees him in the street, she poses no threat to him. However, you know, these are the people that say that silence is violence and words is violence and all this other stuff, and yet their rhetoric is violent, and they are pushing violence, and that's why they can't stand the opposing views in an open marketplace of ideas.
You know, the other thing that's so bizarre about leftists and Democrats a lot of the times is I agree with Christian Billings. They're the ones that usually say don't talk about this stuff. But when they do bring up politics, they'll say stuff that's just like a radical left-wing like thing, and they'll just assume that you agree with it, or they'll assume everybody around them agrees with it. I really think it's because they're uninformed. They're low-information people. They're ignorant. Let me tell you, if all you do is read the Billings Gazette and watch KTVQ and maybe you read the New York Times or your Wall Street Journal, you are going to be ignorant. You're going to be uninformed. But it's just bizarre the way these leftists, they don't have a clue, no idea that 60, 70, 80% of the population here in Montana totally disagrees with what they're saying. And they'll just say it as if, oh, this is everybody believes this. Have you noticed that?
Absolutely. It's the same messaging from all of these platforms, all of these media personnel. I mean, it's crap. It's crap in a blue box. It's crap in a black, brown box. It's crap in a yellow box, just with a different name printed on it. And it's all crap. And, you know, that's crap in, crap out.
That's right. Okay, we got one from Cameron in Billings. Says, why would I want to talk politics if it'll just make people from both sides hate me for not agreeing with them? Well, that's where you're wrong, Cameron. I mean, I would agree with you that the Democrats will hate you if you disagree with them, but most conservatives and Republicans that are interested in talking about these absolutely do not hate anybody for disagreeing with them. And in fact, we love the human beings that disagree with us. We show nothing but love and kindness and respect to all human beings, and especially those who are lost in the left-wing morass and the Democrat ideas. I mean, that's a big thing. We got one from Perry in Columbus. You guys aren't going to want to miss Perry in Columbus's message here. More with Tim and Billings and David Noble right after this.
With National.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tim in Billings had a response to Cameron in Billings, wrote in and said, why would I talk politics if it's just going to make the other side hate me?
Well, my response to that is I just saw a great video by a gentleman named Nick Freitas, who's a delegate in either the Virginia or West Virginia, you know, legislature. He's also, I believe, a former Green Beret or some sort of veteran. I know he's a veteran. I don't know which branch or anything like that. But he stated how he used to tell kids and going into college, keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, just go through to get your degree, and then just get out of there. And then what he said was profound, and I think it's important, and I agree with it 100%. And this is why you talk politics, because that's cowardice. Keeping your head down and being quiet is cowardice. And we're told to be brave and to have faith. And cowardice is contagious. But guess what? Courage is contagious as well. If you speak up and you stand firm in your beliefs and you state your, if you can articulate your position and why you believe things, and you're not being a jerk about it and you're not losing your temper, well, guess what? Somebody else who agrees with you may see that and they may say, you know, I'm also going to speak up and I'm going to also say what I believe. And I feel safe being able to do that because that one person stood up. I feel like I can stand up with them. So courage is courageous, just as cowardice is courageous. And David had a really good point about that as well. If you're going to do that in college, what?
Yeah, I was just saying, like, if you're going to take this idea that, hey, I'm just going to keep my head down in college because I don't want my professors to give me a bad grade once they realize I'm a Christian or conservative or whatever, then you're going to do the same thing once you get into the corporate world, because you're going to be in a business setting or anything like that or anywhere else, and you're going to even have more of a financial incentive to sort of not say your word. You know, First Corinthians says, therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Jeremiah, it says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord.
Absolutely. Be bold in your beliefs, be bold in your faith, be bold in your faith and your
understanding.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have a position. Don't cower to people who disagree with you and will screech and squawk and try to belittle you. Have a articulate conversation and don't lose your temper, and you can never lose.
Yeah, and a lot of these tests nowadays are multiple choice or they're blind graded, and so you know, you can get through school. I got through law school and undergrad being a very, very outspoken conservative, and I think there was one professor that gave me a bad grade because of that, and that was it. Hey, I previewed Perry in Columbus's message because always appreciate his calls. This is a very nice message. He says, congrats to the dynamic duo for doing such a great job. Epic Times is a good broadsheet newspaper that delivers good news. Just remember, everything the leftist government does is to control you. Everything. Thanks for doing such a great job today. Well, thank you, Perry, and totally agree on Epic Times. And frankly, you know, if you're going to pay for a newspaper, pay for Epic Times.
Absolutely. They do run specials from time to time where you can get like 3 months for a dollar. And interesting thing about Epic Times, the people who founded that paper, they are a religious sect called the Falun Gong who were persecuted in China. And, you know, they are bold. They have publishing in China. They actually had it raided and burned to the ground about a year and a half ago. But they still are bold and courageous in producing their newspaper and their news formats.
Good for them. It's so sad what's happening to Christians around the world. The persecution of Christians in China. I mean, Donald Trump has been talking about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. And not just the radical Islamists in Africa are literally straight up just slaughtering and murdering people simply because they're Christians.
Absolutely. It's, you know, that we talk about, you know, the genocide of this group or the other group. And it happens more often than we know, and many times it's Christians that it's happening to, and I think there's actually a war on Christianity by the leftists. They don't like the idea of people worshiping something other than government, and especially they don't like the idea of an individualism over collectivism.
Yeah, and what's funny is a lot of people on the left, the communism, socialism, that is their religion.
Absolutely.
And so one of the reasons that a lot of these folks don't like to talk about politics on the left is because when somebody like you or I says, actually, you know what? Free market capitalism has done more for the poor than any socialist program or communist program ever. You know, that's an attack on their religion. So of course they're going to get upset.
Absolutely. Well, here's a prime example. Where else could you have a person who believes in a religion that thinks that the killing of homosexuals is warranted and justified, combining forces with the LGBT community? Tell me that's not a religion and a cult in and of itself.
Yeah, and this Mom Dami guy in New York City is an actual jihadist. And Ted Cruz, and I listen to Ted Cruz's podcast. He does a podcast, Verdict, with Ted Cruz. He was just talking about yesterday about how this guy is a jihadist. And you know what else is really disturbing is Mom Dami's speech last night. It was a totally different tone. All of a sudden, he no longer has his little smarmy little smile anymore. And he's getting aggressive and nasty and vicious. And it's because now he won the election.
The mask has fallen.
Yeah,
right?
even MSNBC was literally MSNBC reported. It's like he's a different person.
No, he's the same person. You guys just didn't dig hard enough.
Right.
You believed your own propaganda.
All right, got a message here from Frank in Evergreen. By the way, folks, if you guys do want to get a message into me and Tim, call in, talk to the producer. He'll get it to us or send it on the Montana Talks app. Frank in Evergreen says, I think our educators are doing the best they can, but when the resources are coming from incorrect left-leaning companies, it's hard to give anything but social incompetency. Our kids are better off back in the books and learning independently. Well said, Frank.
Absolutely. The publishing companies are driven by leftist ideology. The curriculum is driven by leftist ideology. We can have the greatest teachers in the world in Montana. They're handed a curriculum that is put together by somebody in New York, and they're handed books that are published by people in New York. If you want to counter that, get your kids into another book. It's called the Bible.
Amen. And you know what it also reminds me? I had this realization once where it's like, you know, as a parent, it's very, very difficult to send your kids to public school, because by the very act of you sending your kids to public school, you are telling your children, this is a good place to go. This is a place where you should go to learn. And so then when they come home and they say, hey, mommy and daddy, I learned that we're all going to die in 5 years from man-made global warming unless we shut down the power plants and we get rid of cars. And then you tell them, no, that's not true. Your teacher's a good person, but that's not true. It's like, then your kid's confused because it's like, hold on, so you're sending me to the school and telling me it's a good place to go to learn. But then when I come home and I tell you what I learned, you're telling me it's incorrect. It's just confusing for the kid. And so that's why we need real school choice in this state. We've got some programs here and there, some scholarships here and there, but we need real school choice in Montana, I think.
Not just the legal ability to have school choice. We need to have the choices to have that choice. We need to have options for people to send their kids to. And I mean, I bet you there's a lot of people out there who are who are teachers or have teaching degrees or maybe retired, they would probably love to have the opportunity to mentor or tutor or have a small group of students to teach without the heavy-handedness of, say, a school district too, or a Missoula school district or a Bozeman school district telling them that they've got to put a litter box in a room because somebody thinks they're a cat.
Right. No, absolutely, and they could. And here's the other thing: we wouldn't have to waste a bunch of money on bloated administrative staff either. In that situation, it'd be a lot of good things too. Let's get a couple of more messages in here. Sue in Big Fork says, 89% increase in my property tax. What can we do about it? Nobody has able to help me about how to find relief. My representatives, tax people, government officials. I want to know where I can go to find relief. People are afraid to talk. Well, Sue in Big Fork, first of all, there are programs to help you if you're elderly, if you're low income, whatever the issue might be. There are programs for property tax relief. I'm not an expert on where you go to find them. I just know they exist. But here's the thing. The number one thing that we can do in a state to fix our property taxes is to make our school board elections partisan and in the November of the even year, and also to make our city council and mayor races partisan and in November of an even year. The fact that we've got nonpartisan school board races in May and then nonpartisan city council races in odd years, that's why we have property taxes out of control. Jake Eaton is the one that explained this to me, and it just makes perfect sense because most of our property taxes are driven by local spending at the school board level and at the city council level. Well, the reason that you've got a bunch of left-wingers is because, let's be honest, the radical left and their little organizations and nonprofits, they've got a better ground game. And their voters turn out in these weird elections where it's May, random May elections. Nobody's thinking about politics. You've got November of 2025, these city council races. And that's why these left-wingers win. And then they ramp up the spending. And that's what's causing the increase in property. So kind of counterintuitive. But the best solution to property taxes is actually changing those elections to put them on real election days and make them partisan. Because let's be real. The city councils in this state and the school boards in this state are partisan, and the fact that they're running as nonpartisans is a scam.
All politics are local, and the politics that will affect you the most are local. You know, you can't have some vote for the, you know, dog catcher on the 32nd of September. You know, let's have an election day where we do all of our elections on election day. Everybody is partisan. If you're alive, you have a bias. And that bias should be disclosed as to how you feel when you're running for public office.
Josh in the Flathead says, it's pronounced epoch, not epic. You know, I've been wondering that since the day I saw that newspaper. Is it epoch or is it epic?
I've watched their television broadcast, and if I recall, they call it the epic news.
Okay, there we go. More messages right after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week, the cattle futures continue to be falling lower, but overall, 2025 has been a historic run for the cattle market. Randy Block with Cattle Facts shares how situations south of the border impacted cattle prices.
We're going into the phase of the cattle cycle where 2025 and 2026 would likely see the about as high as the markets would get in that time period. All in all, I would say really things are on schedule, with the exception of we did have some surprises with the Mexican border. The market certainly wasn't anticipating we'd go through months of the Mexican border being closed. That's had a major impact on supplies of fed cattle throughout the course of the year, availability of feeder cattle. And we also, with the increase in tariffs on Brazil, moving those tariff levels to 76.4%, that all but pretty well shut off the flow of imported lean beef from Brazil. So the market got a little extra juice in July out of both those announcements. Say $15 to $20 a hundred impact on the Mexican situation. And with the Brazilian situation, you're talking about nearly $10 a hundred.
The Mexican and Brazilian situation added around $25 to $30 a hundredweight for the U.S. cattle market. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, guys, big thanks to our friend David Noble for covering down on this Freedom Friday. Let me tell you real quickly here about a really cool product. This is a veteran-owned company, a Big Fork, Montana Marine. I first met Lee back at the inauguration for President Trump. We had a whole great crew of Montanans that were back there for Trump's inauguration. And Lee said, hey, I want to send you a product that I created. I want you to try it out. I gave it a shot. And this is basically like a small energy drink. It's like a shot of power and pain relief all in one. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's like an energy drink, but it's got vitamins. It's, instead of being loaded with chemicals, it's got vitamins in it. Here's the deal. Our friend Lee, a Marine Corps veteran, he's giving you 15% off your orders. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and use this code at checkout, Flint15, Flint15. Use that code at checkout. You'll get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com.
All right, we're back here live on a Thursday. We were just talking during the break. Tim, you're a subscriber to well, first of all, we appreciate the message about how to pronounce it. I've never known. I googling it, it says Epic Times, or Epic is how Brit or American, Epoch is more British English. So who knows? But setting that aside, you're a subscriber, you pay for it. You were just talking about a big thing they had on Russiagate.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I think it was, you know, during President Trump's first term, they had a huge, like, three-page fold-out, like, you know, like a traditional paper. And it had out all the players, who did what, who sent what messages to where, how it affected the Trump administration. And, you know, of course, if MSNBC or CNN had seen that, they would have said, well, this is all a conspiracy theory. And now, of course, we're seeing that this is all actually what happened. And, you know, when you actually do investigative journalism or just plain journalism, you know, the facts are laid out there in front of you.
You know, I spent a ton of time earlier in the week on Bill Gates' latest memo, because they're gearing up for their big climate change, their big global warming conference. And Bill Gates wrote a letter to the upcoming climate conference basically saying, what we've been saying for years and what we've been accused of conspiracy theorists for saying, which is man-made global warming is not a catastrophe. We're not all going to die. And actually, the best thing you can do for the environment is actually provide economic development to a lot of these countries around the world. Get them power plants, get them coal-fired, natural gas-fired power plants, because the richer a country becomes, the better they are able to take care of their clean air and clean water. And so now you've got even Bill Gates saying, hey, you know, this thing was totally overblown. And he even points out in there, and this one's interesting, he even points out in there that there's like 100 times or 1,000 times as many deaths from extreme cold as there are from excessive heat. And it's like, I remember all sorts of conservatives for years and years and years pointing out the fact that, look, there's way, way, way more people that are dying from excessive cold in the world than excessive heat. But you would have just been, you know, just laughed out of the room by Democrats, criticized to no end. But now the biggest global warming nut of all is saying the same thing. And how many times do we see that?
Absolutely. And my thought on that is Bill Gates, he sees that tax incentive well has run dry with President Trump in office and with the GOP having control of the Senate and the House. The funding is gone for all that green garbage.
We got to take it for what it is, which is exactly what. Same with Gavin Newsom. Yep. Gavin Newsom changing his tune on boys and girls of sports. Like, that's not genuine.
No, they're as phony as a $3 bill. And I tell you, you want to improve people's lives? Give them access to good medical care. How do you do that? You get a hospital built where they're at. What does a hospital need? It needs electricity. How do we do that? A power plant. You know, let's get them clean water. How do we do that? We get a water treatment plant. Let's dig some wells. Let's get a reservoir. Let's get some water treatment. You know, let's give them climate control so they don't freeze, so they don't die of heat exhaustion. It's just crazy what the little electron can just provide a lot of relief for a lot of people. But yet, you know, we have 100 people a year die on the side of Mount St. Helens, or the, you know, climbing Mount St. Helens every year. They're added to those climate deaths,
is that right?
I'm sure. Something like that.
Okay. Valerie in Kalispell writes in. She says, Epic Times, I use the app, read it every day. They're the best publication in America today. other than the Montana Talks app. If everyone reads and follows, we'd be in a much better place as a country. Well said, Valerie and Kalispell. Thank you so much, Valerie and Kalispell. I agree. Frankly, maybe that's simply one thing that we can all do. That's one thing that we can all do as citizens to help our country is to encourage people to read the Epoch Times. And in fact, you know, I'm going to go after the show. I'm gonna subscribe. I don't have a problem. I don't know if it's, you know, how much is it anyway, by the way?
I don't know. I wait till it's a dollar for 3 months because I'm a cheapskate.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great way to do it. And they'll run promos and if you get on there and you're a first time user, you can probably get it $1 for 3 months.
And you can share a subscription.
And you can share a subscription. That's fantastic. I'm gonna go do it and I'm gonna go do it right after the show. In fact, I'm gonna go subscribe to, and you know what's funny is like doing show prep for this show. And I'll go to Bongino Report, or I'll go to some of these other link websites like that, and they'll oftentimes link to Epoch Times, and that brings up the login page, and it's just like, you know what, we really ought to be supporting publications like that. Right. Just like, you know what, whenever Aaron Flint posts a story, I click it. Right. I click the link. I go in. I'll even click on ads in the thing because you're supporting Aaron. You're supporting right. Montana Talks by doing that. Same with Epoch Times.
Absolutely. You know, and I joke that I'm a cheapskate, but I am. So I guess that's just the truth. But, you know, if I
frugal, we call that frugal.
I'm very conscientious of where every one of my dollars goes. And
that's smart.
Having three kids that are all very active, I have to be conscientious. So, you know, sometimes I just have to get the Epoch Times through the Bongino Report. So, you know, but I would love to be able to support them, you know, year round 100%, but you know, that's just not in my budget. But you know,
yeah, I mean, but again, like even if you wanted to support Aaron Flint, clicking on his stories, get the app, get the Montana Talks app on your phone, open up the Montana Talks app every day, click on Aaron Flint's stories. That's free. That's
build,
free.
Build that algorithm, right?
Yeah, and
get
it helps.
Get that engagement number up.
Exactly. Exactly. TC in Billings writes in, thank you for the message, TC. He says, since the Republicans lack the spine to eliminate the filibuster, is there a law they could pass that could prevent the Democrats from abolishing it in the future? The Democrats will most certainly do it if they ever regain the Senate majority. Well said, TC. I'm not aware of anything that we could do at this point in time to prevent the Democrats from nuking the filibuster. And I agree with you. The Democrats will nuke it. And so, you know, Donald Trump is out there pushing pretty hard for these and you know what? It's like, I think Donald Trump knows. Donald Trump recognizes unless we get rid of the filibuster, he is not going to be able to get his agenda passed. Now, we got the one big beautiful bill, but that was done through this whole reconciliation process where you're actually limited in sort of big policy changes. And so there's something to be said for that. I do think Trump's got a point here.
And it increased spending. So it wasn't like this great, you know, model of conservatism. I'm torn on the filibuster, but you know, I think we have to recognize, conservatives need to recognize, we're no longer operating under regular order. Congress is broke, so you have to make hay when the sun shines. And right. as much of a you know, person that thinks that you shouldn't do things that seem to be underhanded, I tell you what, if you gotta get in the mud to get the ball across the goal line, let's get it done.
So the thing is I mean, I've always supported the filibuster because, number one, because it benefits right. states like Montana.
Right.
It benefits small population states like Montana. And frankly, it benefits conservatives and the Republican Party because of the fact that a lot of the smaller states are conservative. And
right.
so it really traditionally has benefited conservatives in Montana. In addition, the sort of, you know, institutional reason for the filibuster, which is that, hey, we're the Senate. We only want to pass bills and make changes if it's got broad support across the parties and across the geographic region of the United States. And the point of that is, hey, we don't want massive swings every single
right.
time. Every single time the Senate goes from 51-49 Democrat to 51-49 Republican, you don't want all of federal law to be completely upended. And so you don't really want, you want more stability. You want stability in the law, and the filibuster has provided that. It's also been, but at the same time, I mean, the Democrats will get rid of it, and they'll use it to add states. They'll use it to add Puerto Rico and D.C. as a state. They'll use it to pack the Supreme Court. And so I tend to agree with you. It's like, we're, if we were operating under normal order, I'd say, no, let's keep the filibuster. But I think you're right. I mean, we got to make hay when the sun shines here.
I think in the post-Trump political world, what Donald Trump has done more than anything else is he has exposed the left for what they truly are. He's exposed the media for what they truly are. And he has exposed how rotten our government truly is.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great benefits of Trump's is just opening people's eyes, getting people informed. I think that's a great point. Hey, we got a lot of messages still here on the app. Scott, Ken, Tracy, Tammy, coming up right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's the dynamic duo, Tim from Billings and David Noble here filling in. Let's get these messages out, and then we'll get Tim's response. Scott Simon in Billings says, right now the Montana Constitution prohibits tax dollars going to private schools. I'm the development lead for the Yellowstone Christian Academy. Right now the only way to move the needle is to donate to the private schools or change the Constitution, Scott. I mean, I would support a change to the Montana's Constitution to get rid of this provision you're talking about. Scott continues, Tom McGilvray gave me this info. Long-term, our options are a CI or elect representatives. Okay, there you go. The CI is the constitutional initiative. That's what I would support. But appreciate that, Scott. And yeah, shout out to the Yellowstone Christian Academy. Great stuff there. Ken in Great Falls says, why aren't you taking phone calls, but you had no problems getting Representative Downing on the line yesterday? Well, Ken, we had him on via Microsoft Teams, and it's a big royal pain, but we are able to do it. But no, Ken, would love to have you on the show tomorrow in person. If you can get yourself down here to Billings, would love to have you in studio. Tracy in Kalispell says, I called the Epic Times paper. They do pronounce it Epic Times. It's a great newspaper. We've had it 4 years. Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you, Tracy. Somebody in Roundup says, Monty in Roundup says, Nancy Pelosi retires. Ding dong, the witch is dead. I did see that breaking news, Wall Street Journal breaking news. That's the only breaking news alerts I'll allow on my phone. It's bad enough as it is. Tammy in Kalispell says, hi, I'm not sure who to contact, but the Montana Talks website published an article by Dennis Bragg that's factually wrong. In his writing about the statewide election results yesterday, he wrote that Columbia Falls approved the new high school bond by 70%. In fact, voters rejected the bond by 68%. If he can correct his article, that would be great. Thanks. Thank you, Tammy. Andy in Whitefish says, you guys are kicking butt. Great show. He didn't say butt. He said something else there. Thank you, Andy. That means so much. I really appreciate it. Yeah. Morgan in Helena says, the Senate can break the filibuster and then change it back. True. They can. All right, Tim, what's your response to those?
Well, that's 23rd floor of the DoubleTree Hotel for Ken. You know, hit the button, come up the elevator, go out to the door, you ring the buzzer, and the producer will let you in. You know, David might have a cup of coffee here sitting here for you. You know, there's yeah. No censorship going on. I liked the one about the dynamic duo, because the soundbite right before we came on the air said the biggest names in talk radio, and I thought, yes, and also the least known and no names in talk radio. So
hey, you
we
know
covered
what?
The gambit.
But you know what? But we're here and we're doing it.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's fun to talk and to sit up here, this beautiful view, and be able to bounce ideas off of David, because, you know, he's a lot more polished and a lot smarter than I am. But, you know, I certainly have ideas and bring passion and I'm not afraid to speak my mind, I guess.
Yeah, and just love some of those other comments, too. Yeah. I mean, it really does mean a lot when you folks write in like that and say you're enjoying the show because, you know, we do love doing this. It's a heck of a lot of fun, but, you know, it is something we put a lot of effort into as well. It's obviously one of my childhood dreams. I mean, I don't know about you, Tim, but I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh with my dad, and since I was a little kid, I had a dream of doing talk radio. So I'm literally here living out my childhood dream right now. I don't know about you.
Oh, I wouldn't say this is my childhood dream, but when I was a kid, my parents and grandparents owned a restaurant and dinner theater, and before the show, my dad would do a little bit of some announcements. You know, they'd do a drawing, and he would always offer a all expenses round trip to Toluca, and I don't know if you know where Toluca is, but it's basically an off-ramp between Hardin and Billings. But he would do a couple of jokes, and I always thought that was really great. So I try to bring a little bit of levity in everything I do. But, you know, I think there's a lot of information out there, and I know I'm always sending David stuff that I see online that I find interesting, whether it's strictly political or not. And I just like to have conversations about a lot of different things, but I am passionate about politics because, you know, you better care about politics because they sure care about you.
Yeah, I will say you sound a lot more sane when you're in studio versus when you're just calling in.
Well, you got to keep me between the guardrails, you know. I might get escorted out by security if I get out of line here.
Yeah, so Nancy Pelosi apparently retiring. Frankly, I just found it bizarre that she was even still there to begin with. I mean, do these people ever, I mean, I guess they do. I mean, she's retiring, but what is going on?
I think maybe there's some traction happening on the banning insider trading with the Senate. Maybe she sees that well's run dry and she's not going to keep padding her stats.
Yeah, but how are we going to know what stocks to buy if we don't have the Nancy Pelosi stock picker?
That's right. That, you know, the people who do that, they come out pretty well just like her. I would love to see that app get put out of business by a law that outlaws insider trading by our politicians because, quite frankly, I didn't send them there to get rich and enrich themselves. I sent them there to do a civil service.
Yep. According to the Wall Street Journal, this is something that maybe she'll never live down. Nancy Pelosi's influence extended beyond her formal position as Speaker of the House, notably in discussions regarding President Joe Biden's 2024 reelection campaign. Imagine going out after orchestrating the Democrats' 2024 presidential disaster.
Well, maybe that's why she's being asked to not run again, is that, you know, maybe...
Frankly, all the Democrats...
So poor.
But all the Democrats should not run again because they all lied to us about Joe Biden.
Absolutely. Thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks, but no thanks is right. All right, folks. That wraps up another show here on Montana Talks. Thanks to Tim and Billings for joining me. We got one more show with your favorite guest host, David Noble. We'll be here live again tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Get the app. You're not going to regret it. You know.